Hey, speaking of backyard, Larry Weber ought to be a pretty boring program today since nothing really interesting in the natural world happened this past week. Oh, hi, Larry. Good morning.
Yes, well, usually when I speak, it is boring. So
it is not.
Any week. However, you know, they say records are made to be broken. And it took a few years, but we did it this week. Wasn't that fabulous? Oh, amazing. I was on a trip to southeast Minnesota, and I got back on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Well, guess what started on Wednesday at 4 p.m.?
Oh, gosh. What, Larry? What?
The snow. Now, it's not unusual that we get some snow in May, and I've mentioned that before, and we have had it, every other year or so, we get some. But the snowiest May on record was back in 1954, and that year it was about 8 inches, and that is the snowiest May ever recorded in the Weather Service in Duluth, and that goes back to 1884, 135 years. And then things changed. That one snowfall from 4 p.m. till midnight gave more snow than ever recorded before in May. And then, of course, it continued the next day. The Weather Service recorded altogether about 10.5 inches of snow. It was absolutely amazing. And, of course, the temperature of 30 degrees, it was a very wet snow. And with the temperature warming up yesterday to near 50, it did not last very long. And, yes, we all have a few places where there's still snow on the ground.
Like my backyard.
It's not going to last very long. No, that's one of the beautiful things about the spring snows. You don't even need to go out and shovel it. Mother Nature will step in and take care of it. Oh, yes. Well, it was fabulous. You know, it's nice to always be there when their records are being set. So that means 2019, we have already had 2 months, February and May, that were the snowiest months on record. Now, is that going to continue? And when we get later in the year, we'll have to find out, but I doubt it. A couple of thresholds are happening this week. Number one, May 15, we will reach 15 hours of daylight. The days continue to get long. We know now, we now see that the sun sets like 8:30, and it continues to get long. However, we never make it to 16 hours of daylight. We almost get there by the 21st of June, but we don't quite make it. That's one of the thresholds. And, of course, when we get to the second half of May, we have the beginning of the rainy season. Now, with all the snow and the temperatures that we had, we might not think in terms of a rainy season, but if you take a look at the forecast, you will see the reference to thunder showers, thunderstorms coming up, at least somewhat, in the next few weeks. We are also having in the next few weeks a remarkable time to get out and see those spring wildflowers. This trip I was on, we were in southeast Minnesota, and the idea was to see the spring migrant birds, but it was also to see the spring wildflowers. Well, in a couple of places we walk, and if anybody wants to go down to see some fabulous spring wildflowers, I'd recommend Whitewater State Park. But in a couple of the places we walked, we ended up seeing 30 kinds of wildflowers in bloom. And then as I came back, I stopped off at Banning State Park just south of us here near Sandstone. And there I saw 10 kinds of wildflowers in bloom. I kept coming north and stopped off at Jay Cook State Park and found 5 kinds in bloom. So, yes, they are on the way. It's going to happen very quickly. If you take a look in the trees around, you'll see a tint of green starting to show up. This is especially obvious in quaking aspen and willows, but I also saw it with the lilac leaves are starting to open, and even the tamaracks are starting to open, which means the leaves coming out will eventually make shade to the forest floor. So these spring wildflowers have to grow very fast. They have a short lifetime, and that's why they're often called ephemerals. And they're going to be coming out on a regular basis. You get clear days like today, and wow, do they show up fast. And so I would recommend getting out and enjoying it. Now we got another thing going on that happens usually till around the 20th of May, sometimes longer than that, and that is we can go out and walk in these places without being accompanied by mosquitoes. And that happens a little bit later. The snow and the cold postpone their arrival, but it will still be happening. So good time just to get out and enjoy it. And while you're looking at the wildflowers, also notice some of the migrant birds. We saw in this trip in southeast Minnesota, we saw 13 kinds of warblers, all of which could be coming this far north. You know, it's right along the migrant flyway, and they were down there. They're certainly eager to be coming up here. When the leaves first come out on the trees, they are soft, and the local caterpillars take advantage of that, and they start feeding on them. And so when these early migrants arrive, they start feeding on the caterpillars. So it's a wonderful timing of nature. During my walk this morning, I saw a palm warbler. That was the second kind of warbler that I saw here. I had seen a yellow rump warbler before. And I expect soon to be seeing a few more, including the oven birds. They usually show up about this time. However, weather conditions will probably have postponed it. Many of us have probably noticed the forsythia has come in bloom. I had some great observations yesterday of seeing a forsythia with snow on it. But it's hardy. It can handle it. Other things of note besides the migrant warblers is what was at the bird feeder yesterday. This is interesting. What do birds do when a snow comes along like that in May? It's a little harder to find food, so they have to seek it out. I had three kinds of sparrows, chipping sparrows, song sparrows, and white-throat sparrow that all came to the feeder yesterday. And though I see white-throats quite often, song sparrows and chipping sparrows are not as likely to come to feeders, but they had to have some food, and so they showed up. Also, I went down to a lake. Water cools slower than does the air. Therefore, there would still be insects active around the lake, and there they were. There were a few warblers, a ruby-crowned kinglet, and they were taking advantage of the insects that feeding there. They can handle it. It takes a little adjustment. This morning when I was out on the walk, I saw a phoebe. Phoebes, again, are insect eaters, and they know how to find it when conditions get tough. Other things of note, the Canada geese have been on the nest for a while. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the first babies out. So, yes, Lisa, things have happened, and many more things are going to happen.
So now you know how growing up in Rochester shifted my perspective about what May was supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And why, lo, these many years later, I'm still struggling with it sometimes.
Yep. Well, if you grew up in Rochester, you were not far from Whitewater State Park.
Whitewater State Park is where they took us on a sixth grade camping trip when we were getting ready to graduate from sixth grade and be a really big deal. They took us to we had a big camping trip at Whitewater. It was fantastic.
Yes, and as I said, it's an outstanding place. Actually, quite a few of those parks in the South are outstanding for spring wildflowers. But if you are willing to wait a little bit, our own Jay Cook State Park is nothing to be ashamed of. It is also outstanding.
And if you know somebody who really knows their way around Jay Cook State Park, sometimes you can say to them, hey, you want to go look for wildflowers? And they'll take you with.
Yeah, I would suggest a couple of the naturalists there. They really know their way around Jay Cook State Park.
They do indeed. Larry, thank you so very much for joining us. By the way, we're just going to let folks know, next week, we're going to switch things up a little bit. Next week, we're going to bring you Larry Weber a little bit early. We may actually just record you and broadcast you twice. You're busy at this time of year. You've got so much going on at this time of year. So we're going to talk to you next week at 7:45. Don't sweat it. We'll have Larry for you. If you miss him next week, we'll have him for you. It'll be all good, okay?
Okay, fine. My students always said I had a tendency to repeat myself, so there you go.
We have the technology that can do it for you, Larry.
Okay,
thanks so much.
Take care.
Larry Weber this morning, what a goofball. He's a naturalist, he's an author, an educator, and he is our longtime host of Backyard Almanac right here on 103.3 KUMD.